All right, welcome to another show. This one is part two of Andrew. So if you haven't listened to part one was the day before this one. So go back and listen so there's context. And in this one, part two, my boy Andrew, my main man and I, we talk about being fully present and fully expressed, including, I don't remember what episode it is, our uninterrupted, unedited hug that was for me to fill my bucket that we left in the show. Taking new behaviors and collapsing the gap so we can put them into practice, get the results, and be that person or get those results that we're looking for. And then surrounding yourself with lighthouses and the impact that's created when you focus on the critical relationships in your life that turn you up and turn you brighter. And then you stack this with what we covered in the first one, which was our experience at the exposure retreat, reparenting, modeling feelings, and presence. And you combine all of those things together to be an absolute superpower. So without further ado, I'm going to wrap this one and let's get into the second part of the show. What I find so interesting is that we spend our lives ignoring the one person we're guaranteed to spend the rest of it with, which is ourselves, yeah. Right? And I couldn't sit still. I couldn't look in a mirror. I couldn't have my phone away. And I had a monk on the podcast, Elp, I love you. And he was in a monastery for 7 years. And he summarized this better than anybody. And he's like, if you can't take a shit without your phone, you don't know what it's like to live. And I was like, tell me that isn't like every answer ever. Right. But like, it was this prison that I was in and I would believe it. And all those things would just create massive pain because I never really was present. I was constantly reacting to something from the past. And I didn't see how, even with the best intentions, but not being fully aligned or fully through it, even with those best intentions, it still caused massive collateral damage to people. And I'm, you know, like you, I don't learn the first time or the second or the third. I wait till I break it all. And I'm like, oh, I guess I got to learn. And that was the one. It was like, I started to really understand the power of like authenticity, like raw, unapologetic authenticity, but not for anybody else, like just for me to be able to honor or label it. And like, I'm 40 years old and I'm figuring out now that I might be able to have a relationship with my emotions, and I'm reparenting myself through my 7-year-old. And I'm like, yep, daddy's feeling this right now and don't know what to do with it. And like, you know, here we go. But it's these subtleties. And it's like, I have this interview that Sadhguru and Mike Tyson did together. For those who want a walking pattern interrupt, that is it. Two of like polar opposites sharing the same message. But I love how simply Sadhguru puts it. He's like, oh, you mean you get issued this vehicle and you never open the owner's manual and wonder why you can't drive it? And I was like, huh, really, really interesting. Like, we weren't taught how to drive this thing. We weren't taught to regulate our emotions. And depending on when you grew up or where you grew up or how you grew up, there could be this semblance of it. But once you catch that and you become aware of it, it is your responsibility and it becomes yours to be able to maintain that. And I think I forgot for so long how much influence we have just in our sphere of people close to us, our kids, our friends, our employees, our staff members. And everything really is a reaction to the barometer that we are. Mm-hmm. And I found the only place that I feel alive and in alignment is just like radically honest. And so if that means I'm balling, I'm balling. If that means I'm angry, I'm angry. I'm like, but it's only for me. I'm just allowing myself to feel that emotion. But I feel like I'm 0.1%. of whatever thousands of percentage of mastery is in that game. But I'm like, if it feels this good, this low, I'm all the way in. I'm all the way in. But I'm also that guy, the blue collar guy at heart, to where I need these little reminders around me. I mean, you're sitting in the studio as we're breaking it down, but you see them everywhere. There's lighthouses everywhere. There's quotes everywhere. It's like, no, that's not for everybody else. That's for me. Like, my entire environment, I want to remind me to cut all that bullshit out and all the stories out so I can be there. And like, I even think about this weekend, like I broke down in tears in the shower and prayer to God. I had guilt as a father because I'm moving the studio and we have a lot of pieces moving and business pieces. And I was like, okay, I want to play with my son. And it looked a certain way in my brain, right? The same expectation thing, right? And then I checked in with him maybe 20 times. I'm like, hey, bro, how's your buck? He's like, daddy, it's amazing. I was like, do you need anything? He's like, just snuggles. I'm like, what now? He's like, no, go do your office thing. I'm like, okay. And then 2 minutes into the office thing, instead of being present, I'm like, oh, I'm such a bad dad. I'm such a bad boom. And like, I share this because I think the beautiful part of the work is like when you unlock them, they don't ever go away, but you understand the work is working it, right? It's the integration piece. And it also makes me feel so empowered, right? Because I don't feel like I'm stuck. I don't feel like anything's bad and wrong. Like even to the point where my ex-wife or soon to be ex-wife was standing in the kitchen. She's like, I have feedback for you. Now, 2 years ago, I would have been out the door with a pistol in my hand, like going wherever. And I was like, oh, what is it? And she's like, it's fucking driving me nuts. Every time you answer a question, you're like, my client, my this. And I was like, she's like, it makes it sound like you're like, just answer the question. And I was like, oh. And I was like, well, 3 years ago, you said that all I ever did was talk about myself. So I went the other way. And she's like, are you smiling right now? I'm like, yeah. Who else told you that? She's like, there's been like five people this week. I'm like, no, no. Who are they? And she's like, why? I'm like, I want to clean it up. And she's like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, it's just an opportunity to like go deep and go deep. And then I bumped into like three of them. And one of them was a parent school. I'm like, hey, I just need to say, I'm so sorry. I realized the last time we talked, it was all about me, my ego. And she's like, oh, what are you talking about? I'm like, no, no, just, and I realized that 5 years ago, I'd get that feedback and I'd go lock myself in a cave. I'm like, oh, I'm going to avoid that. I'm going to avoid that. I'm going to avoid that. That was that mental prison that I lived in for so long. And I'm like, if it's showing up, it's only for me. And I even posted this on Instagram the other day. I'm like, there are no interruptions, just invitations to bring things back into integrity, right? If they're showing up in my space, if they're coming into conversation with me, if it tickles my heart, if it's on my brain, I'm like, I didn't put it there, but I might as well go clean it up. And not having those anchors and understanding that we get to be human, we get to feel our feelings, but we also aren't taught how to feel them. And you'd be shocked at what like 30 seconds can do of like 30 seconds of breathing outside, or go get a pillow. And if you're angry, don't make the anger wrong. Just beat the shit out of the pillow and allow it to get out, right? But these things that we're never taught and we're never done, I feel like lock people in prison. And then it just creates this massive dissonance. And it felt like I was not in my body. It felt like I had no control over anything. And I wonder why I was 85 pounds heavier. Right? Just all that baggage of being out of alignment. And so, yeah, I've just deduced my life down to a series of fortune cookies. So every time I end up in one of those gaps, I have it around me to be like, presence, presence, presence. Because then I dropped in the shower into prayer with this weekend and I'm like crying. I was like, God, what do you want me to do with this? And I was like, it's the moment right now. It's just the moment. I got out, I played with Branson, I did blank. I'm like, oh, this is the game, right? And I just realized how many prisons I created for myself and how often I committed to being on the field, but I was never really on the field. There was this shell of me on the field. And I share this publicly. I tell everybody, I'm like, you can tell my seasons because I wore a t-shirt for everyone. Like that unapologetically authentic shirt I wore for like 2 years. And I was like, but you guys got to recognize why I wore it. I used vulnerability as a tool to keep you right where I wanted you. I would tell my story just enough or just enough more than anybody so that you never had the real me. You had the storied version of me, the overcame this version. And like that weekend with you guys, that was all of me. And you remember whatever it was in that moment, whoever needed it in that moment. And that's why I was so proud of myself. It was like, whatever is true in that moment gets to be true, but it's also a new muscle now and it has its own responsibility and it has its own shadows and side effects. But boy, oh boy, does it feel way fucking better to live over here in the heartbeat of life rather than this flat line of checked boxes. And so, yeah, that's where a lot of them tickled me.
I think Matt at the onset of the retreat said something about, you know, we're all strangers right now and who you are from today moving forward is how we're going to know you as a human. And I'm really glad I got to know you that weekend.
Me too, man.
I'm really glad I got to see you for what you were there and moving forward.
Yeah. And I got to say this because there's people listening to this, like I've never had an ill intention in my body since I've done this work. But I also think there's some lessons in here of like when you find new awarenesses, it doesn't mean what got me here is bad or wrong. Mm-hmm. It means like I'm an athlete and, oh, I can perform better. I can be better. I can be a better version of me. And I fell into that trap for so long. And, you know, I talk about it very, no one really ever felt it publicly. It was more so like behind the scenes. Like I would always show up, but then because of that agenda, I would self-sacrifice. And I'd be like, oh, my worth is only based in this. And I made other people feel crappy and like they owed me things. And, but I, to what you just said, I think I forgot for so long that that's every day. Like, it's really like when we wake up in the morning, mm-hmm. like who's today? Like, who do I get to be today? And I said this at the retreat and I've said this on the podcast, but it lands every time I say it. Like literally when I wake up in the morning, I write in my journal that I lost everything, my life, my business, my family, everything. And my journaling prompts are, who do I get to be today to earn them all back? From friendships to text messages to business to pieces like that. But it also feels like freedom because it's like I get a blank canvas every day to paint. And if I really don't like what it looked like, I can just throw another layer of paint on top of it, or I can grab a new one tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But I really only lose if I don't pick up the brush. And that's the trap that I think was the biggest one. If I could save anybody that lesson of like waiting and waiting and waiting, like at the end of the day, no matter what, you're the only one who can pick up the brush. And as long as you make sure that brush stroke is different than anyone that you've ever laid before, it is so worth planting that seed and giving it a chance to see what happens. And that was the trap that I was in, just constantly thinking that, oh, because I've only done this much healing, or the trauma was this long, or I lived in that story for so long, that it can't be that different. No, no, I just had to write a conclusion for that book. But I was fucking petrified of the blank page mm-hmm. because it was new. And I got to decide. Nobody else got to tell me. I didn't get to react to anybody else's trauma or anybody else's view for me. It's like, genuinely, if you really believe that it's up to you and like the only thing you have is you, what do I want to write on that page today? And that's where, if everybody wants the gap of the last 4 years of where I was quiet and silent as we were navigating this divorce for the last couple of years, but really sitting with it and being with it and being with it. And everyone's like, you're back now. I'm like, yeah. I sat with this for like 2 years and I just cut myself stuck with the pen in that old book. And it took a lot of pain, took a lot of surrender, it took a lot of lessons, and it took a lot of like very painful smashing into a wall where I didn't think I was driving, to be like, holy moly, I'm keeping myself in prison. No one else is keeping me here. No one's asking me about these stories. No one is planting these things in my brain. No one's ruminating on any of these things. Like at some point I had to be willing to write something different. And that was the biggest part. That was the biggest breakthrough. Yeah. Wow.
I think life and maybe fate is the word.
Yeah.
I don't know if fate's the right word. We'll go with it. I think it's, if you lean into like nudges, like from God, from above, some of you guys call it the universe, whatever. I believe in God.
It's God.
But
I think it's faith, not fate.
Faith, yeah. But when you start like leaning into these nudges that you ignore, how incredible things can be and how fucking different they can be. You know, I've always been kind of in that box, and that was that blue collar stuff. Like, I'm gonna do this.
Yep.
I'm gonna make a bunch of money. I'm gonna do really good things. I'm gonna own this. I'm gonna own that. I'm gonna retire, and we're all gonna be happy. And I got laid off in 2020. And I wish, you know, I wouldn't change a thing.
When in 2020? Do you remember what month?
April 8th.
Yeah, okay. Oh, wow. This is all, I'll share some stuff after the podcast with you.
But April 8th, 2020, I got laid off. I've had that job for 15 years at that
what
point.
What was it? Just curious. I don't know.
Just being on an oil rig.
Oh, you were on an oil rig.
I started at the bottom, worked my way to my dream job. Then I got laid off from my dream job. So, but that was like what I was going to do. I was going to, you know, own things, and that's what I was going to do. We're going to have a ton of money and everything's great. Like, I was making great money, and getting laid off was the big curveball. And that was a catalyst to me really deep diving and seeing who the fuck I am. Mm-hmm. And going home and having a true identity crisis. All I knew what to do was to work. And then I got laid off. Here I'm on fucking unemployment. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yep.
Like, I've never thought I'd be looking at this. I felt inadequate as a human, inadequate as a husband, inadequate as a provider. I lost everything. And then I was like, I got to do something. So we started the apparel company. and got kicked in the dick all the time. I was like, this isn't it either.
I have Matt's coffee mug on the desk over there that says kick today in the dick. Just so you know, it's on the desk over there.
But just trying new things and having small wins, small breakthroughs. We've been running the apparel company for, we're on coming up on 4 years now, and it's had its ups and downs, and but it keeps me grounded. It's taught me a lot of things and allowed me to be a lot more open-minded and like really recognize different signs, you know, divine signs is what I like to call them. I see something and sometimes I see things and I want them to be something, but that's not what it is, right? Like that's just my fucking ego and my mind telling me I'm seeing this for this. But when I like really, you said surrender, when I surrender to all of it, the process, the journey, to God, and start to see the right signs, dude, I'm getting pulled in so many wonderful directions. Like we went down to FitCon last year and that's where I met Matt and Bonnie. We went down there, brought our A game to Salt Lake. Our apparel company has a lot of loud shit.
Yep.
Loud shit. And that's what sells is our loud shit. Not thinking about being in Salt Lake where it's very, it's very Mormon.
It's very Mormon.
Very Mormon. And we bought a sponsored booth. Like we were right next to Redcon, like no expense spared. And I went into it thinking like, all right, if we just make 15 grand on the weekend, I'm stoked. Like that means we will have reached a lot of people. And I had this monetary thing in my head and well, we didn't. We went to Salt Lake with words that said fuck or shirts that said fuck on them. And a lot of people swung by and they're like, I love this. I can't wear this.
Yep.
I can't wear this at my gym. I'm like, where are you from? Salt Lake. Well, you need a new gym. No, you don't get it. I can't wear this.
Yep.
And it dawned on me the first day. I'm like, oh no. Like we brought our best sellers that we sell to all 50 states every month. But Salt Lake isn't the place that we sell this. And so our monetary goal was fucking, we weren't even close, but we did pay for the trip. And that was important. We paid for the trip. And then we chalked the rest up to, we've got some inventory.
Yep.
And at FitCon, I went over and I talked to Matt at his booth. I just wanted to introduce myself to Matt. I didn't know him. We had a small conversation, but then FitCon had breakout rooms for different coaches and business owners. And that's where the magic started. I went in there and my wife and I went into Matt's room and the scheduling was all fucked up and nobody knew where the rooms were. We just happened to find the room and walked in there and we got a lot of alone time with Matt and Bonnie and we really connected. And then the other thing, and my wife at the time thought this was the dumbest thing in the world. Why would we pay? We ended up paying like $1,600 to go to Keaton's house for this VIP party. And I told her, like, we're not going there to party. We're going there to visit with people with intention. And I knew like Rob would be up there. I knew Keaton would be up there and I knew Matt would be up there, Dan.
Yep.
And so we went up there and there was no visiting with Keaton that night.
No.
Him and Dana were just cutting a rug, you know.
Yep. Oh, they dancing were dancing all off. Night. Yep. Once you get Keaton dancing, game yeah. over. He's gone. Gone.
Talked to Rob a little bit and then Matt showed up and in the middle of the dance floor with Keaton and Dana and several others dancing around us. I'm in one of the deepest conversations of my life with Matt and full presence for both of us, full in. And we were just going back and forth. And that's where I asked him to come to our retreat that was very short notice at that point, like 3 weeks away or something. And that's where like the magic really started. So, getting him and Bonnie up to our retreat was the catalyst to the next retreat. But it all started with what could have been perceived as massive failure, business failure. I mean, absolutely. Like if I chalked that up to just a business trip, we fucking tanked, dude. Like we got to meet a lot of people. Yeah, whatever. On the business side, we fucking tanked. And with the after party, it didn't pay for itself.
No.
Like stuff coming out of the pocket. But being able to connect with Matt and Bonnie on that deep personal level and getting them up to see like what we're up to and like who we really are as humans to get them open to wanting to work with us on some of this stuff. Like that's where the magic was. And
that's why we're doing this podcast.
Yeah, man. Had to lean into like that, like these little nudges here and there. But then, yeah, ultimately to that retreat, to us meeting, to all of this, like I got to chalk all that up to a really shitty business trip.
Good right? lessons, bro.
Yeah. And that's how I try to like look at opportunity and everything now. I make a lot of decisions on the fly that are really fucking bad, but there's always something in there. There's a nugget in everything. If you just open to it, like you can't be closed off to it. Like I've had a failed business like that failed miserably. I lost a ton of fucking money and relationships out of the deal, but I learned so much from that yep. and what not to do going forward.
Yep.
I'll never get that relationship back, but I know not to put myself in a position to lose a relationship like that again.
Yeah. So. Oh God, the amount of things that you just shared. And
yeah, I know. I just like ran through like a couple years right there.
No, it's incredible. But also even like, if you remember, well, of course you remember, but for those listening, you know, one of the biggest things that I remember hearing at that weekend we did, and just so everybody knows, we're doing another one. We have one what, in September?
September.
In Idaho.
In Idaho. Yeah,
yep. And just so everybody knows, what's your Instagram? The dude that lifts one?
Yeah, it's at dude that lifts on Instagram.
And then what's wifey's? Simple. What's wifey's? Isn't there?
At Mrs. Dude that lifts.
At Mrs. Dudes that lifts.
We've had a conversation since the first thing George said at the retreat during introduction with everybody. There were a few wives there that said, I am so-and-so's wife. And George called them out before he even introduced himself.
Sorry.
I want you to know that you are an individual and you're here for you, not for your husband, that you are your own person. And that sunk, that hit my wife very hard. And I had asked her about her Instagram name after that. And she said, no, I'm a part of this business. I said, I know, but is your identity this business? Mm-hmm. And we've had a good conversation about that. So I don't know if her name will stay at Mrs. Dude That Lifts, but
yours is Dude That Lifts.
That is the business.
Yep.
Yeah. And then me personally is Andrew_Schubert_official.
Yeah, which you'll see us tagging. We'll have these in the show notes. But yeah. Also like Dude That Lifts, make sure you follow him and connect there, like as always. And the reason I was saying that is like I remember so vividly one word that was shared by everybody so much that they let go of that weekend. It was expectations. Right. And right. As you were speaking, I was like, oh, George, what's a pretty lyrical way that you normally speak? I don't have one, except there's nothing wrong with expectations as long as you don't hold them rigidly, right? You can set an expectation as like a goal and boom, but the moment things aren't falling into line to it and you try to ride that Titanic down, it's game over. And I've had the same one, and I've talked about it on the podcast, like some business lessons I've learned, and I've vaguely shared some very big ones that had seven figures of monetary value out of my pocket. But now I recognize how in alignment I am now and why they all happened. But it was always this like losing the game because I just couldn't let go of what the image looked like, and I missed all the magic in between it, mm-hmm. like all of that magic in between it. And if I've learned anything, especially like even in business right now, Ashley and I have probably reinvented this business 70 times in the last 6 months to be in alignment with us, like from how our team looked to how we operate, how we function, and boom. And I'm like, if you were to like ask me, like, cause everyone's like, oh yeah, well you did this. I'm like, yeah, let's put this on paper and let's put this career path to success. Right. So like active duty Marine to accidental food blogger, CrossFitter, world record holder, New York Times bestseller, number one app in paleo, hated food, gave it all away, deleted social, went behind the scenes, consulting, then boom, and owned companies in here, and then retreats and breathwork and personal development. Now I still can't tell you what I do, but to think that like we could put on a piece of paper, like here is your path to success, right? And like we've all seen the image, and I'm like, at this point, just with the amount of time I've had in the game, I'm really genuinely believe some of the advice that I've repeated over the years of like, literally you're guaranteed to be successful as long as you stay in and learn the lessons, because it's so instant now. And it's like, we had this happen and I was like, oh, we fixed it in 3 days, except it looks completely different than anything we did. And even like hearing you speak about expectations over, that was like the big resounding thing that everybody was releasing.
Yeah.
And even me personally, like, I don't remember most of what I said. And I do vaguely remember, I didn't even want to introduce myself. And I was like, can you do it? I don't feel like it. But in that moment, I was sitting there and, like, on my receiving end, it came to my intro, but I couldn't be present because I kept hearing these things. I was like, no. And, like, I didn't say those for them. I said those for me. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, I want you to be here. I want to know you, not so-and-so's wife or so-and-so's blank. And just expectations all around is so beautiful to, like, just be able to release them and pick it up. Because at the end of the day, we're dribbling the ball, right? Like, no matter what, like, we have the ability to pick it up, to put it somewhere else, to pass it over there. And I just think about, like, even in what you shared, to know, like, behind the scenes what that is, to go from, like, I'm at FitCon in a booth to I want to meet these people to now I'm running retreats with them. Mm-hmm. And we are, like, the deepest of dearest friends.
Yeah.
Potentially wouldn't have happened if you didn't buy that booth at FitCon right. next to Aaron and have all of those, and you won, because instead of holding it of, like, oh, we lost, you're like, oh, but we won and gained. And it reminds me, and I this was last week's passage from Stephen Furtick that I had shared, but he had said this, and he said, when preparing for the unschedulable gift from God, God gives you the what and you fill in the details. And I was like, oh, that tickles a lot, because I think about all the times I wrote down, I'm like, oh, I want this, or I want it to look this way. Or I wrote in my journal at the beginning of the year, I want 2 more weeks in Montana with Branson. I didn't realize the power of my words. Mm-hmm. And then a week later, the company that I'd invest 18 months in that I thought we were good with, I was all done with. And I was like, and then I opened my journal after 4 hours of crying on the flight home, and I saw it, and I was like, I wrote this. I just didn't like what it looked like. Right.
And it's divine.
It's always divine. Right. And I just realized for years, I thought that when I asked for something, that the path would be predictable and it was A, B, C. And it's really, really not. It's really staying in my heart and alignment and mm-hmm. making sure my inputs are protecting that, not sacrificing relationships or things in between, but really being able to let it go. And I mean, like, you're sitting in the studio with the panels of the light hanging down where I was going to hang it to mount the final one. For my 20 years, I had this building mm-hmm. and agreed to buy it when we were done. And then the phone came 2 days later, family emergency, we need your whole studio back. And I was like, thank you. Another reason. And it's just all these little pockets. But I look at my successful friends and my mentors and billionaires and all these people I look up to. And the one thing they all share in common is their level of decision making and how quickly it happens. Like, I shared this with somebody because I saw a clip on Instagram of, like, oh, if you ever notice, if you, like, text a billionaire, how quickly they get back. I'm like, no, I actually know that to be true, but I get text messages and I'm like, oh, I'll wait, or I'll put it off, or boom. And they're like, boom, 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 boom. And it's just constantly collapsing that gap. But mm-hmm. that's by having no expectation and being able to be like, oh, the play changed. Audible. Great. What play am I going to run? How am I going to control this? How am I going to put an input into this? And even hearing you speak about all of this and then seeing us go into the weekend and knowing we're doing another one in September. And I'm like, who even knows where we're going to be in 2 years?
Right.
Right. And I know Matt and Body, we're going to end up on, like, some other planet or in a boat in the middle of an ocean doing something, like, wherever they end up bringing us or in, it's beautiful. And then I think too, and I'll say this, because this question, I actually got asked this on Instagram 3 times this morning separately over the last, like, 2 days, with that expectation, even you and I before we were recording, and this just feels in my heart to share. I think I also fell into the trap, like, when I got new clarity, I'm like, oh, change direction. And I was like, I forgot what got me here actually had to get me here mm-hmm. to have the perspective I have now.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like, I talk to business all the time, like, how did we get here? I'm like, actually, if you didn't walk that path, you wouldn't have this clarity and perspective, because that was the other trap that I fell into for so long, is like, oh, well, I have this new clarity. I have to change everything, something. No. My awareness changed, right? My lack of better terms is just hit the elevator button, right? Like, you mm-hmm. go up another level and your perspective changes. But all those pieces that we had to walk, including me as a Marine and me in trauma and me literally, oh, please don't do this, but I've been doing podcasts for a long time. There's, like, over 10,000 of them now. Like, I can't listen to anyone's before like 4 years ago because I'll save you the path. But if you go listen, every intro is the same. The first 5 minutes is the version of George that everybody got to hear. So that you're like, oh my God, he's so authentic and he's so vulnerable and he's so there. I'm like, no, no, no. That's when I was still an addict. Mm-hmm. I was on a New York Times bestselling book tour for a paleo cookbook while I was purging with bulimia in the bathroom while teaching you to love your body. And so I'm like, no more of those, but also I celebrate those because the perspective I have now is I'm like, I don't ever want to live like that. Like, I don't ever want to feel like that prison again. And not because of what happened outside of me, because of how horrendous it felt inside of me. And those are the things now that like I have so much gratitude for and I look at with empathy. And I can say this now, like when I look in the mirror, I just see this sweet guy that I love to fucking pieces that is like this walking heart. And even in all of that, though, in 40 years on this planet, I have about 3 years of episodic memory of like believing in my heart and feelings and about 37 years of every other situation installed in my brain. Mm-hmm. And I really genuinely understand now that my only work every day is to practice that muscle with myself to make sure that I put more deposits in that positive bank so my subconscious doesn't reference the rest of it.
Yeah.
But I have celebrate every ounce of it now to the point I'm like, no, no, tell me where I fucked up. Like, where did I say it? Where is Ava? I'm like, I just want wholesome alignment and integrity everywhere that I am because I just feel like anything else is prison now.
Mm-hmm.
And so just for everybody listening, it doesn't matter. Like I just feel called to say this. Like right now, in this moment, you are the closest you have ever been to the dream life that you've ever wanted. And any moment past that level of clarity is just a delay. And so there is no waiting. It's done now. But in that moment, at some point, and for me personally, I had to choose to pick up a pen and be like, well, what do I want it to look like today? Like, who would I be? Or what would I say? Or how would I operate? And I didn't understand the power of this until I shared my journal entries with our alliance, because I give them to people. I'm like, hey, guys, here's my journal entries. Here's how I do them. But I never shared my actual entries. And there was one part where I wrote, and this was a couple of months ago, I was doing my gratitude practice. And I just had a lot of gratitude for my soon-to-be ex-wife. Like, she saved my life in so many ways. But we weren't good in that moment. And she was in there. My CEO was in there. And then my kids were in there that day. And next to each person that I wrote gratitude for, I also install an action item for me to show it that day, even if it stretches the shit out of me.
Mm-hmm.
And that action item was, okay, well, she doesn't want to talk to me here. Okay, go write a sticky note. Leave it somewhere she can find it and tell her how you feel about her, knowing like we're in complete breakdown. And like seeing it on my journal might seem like something on paper, but in real life, that felt like going to war, right? And multiple times of those things. But it was in that where I realized like, wait, even though I felt that way, even though I was scared, I just made a commitment to one new behavior. And I was like, I'll try it, right? What's the worst that happens? And it's those subtleties that I fell victim to for so long, of just waiting or waiting or waiting, or like I get the tickle, right? Like I say this to people all the time, like, oh, you think when you're driving in the car randomly in silence and an hour and a half in, you have a person come on your heart. You installed that thought and you should ignore that. No, pick up the phone, send a text message, right? And I just realized this prison that I lived in for so long because I just wouldn't pick up the pen and be like, well, what would it look like if I tried a new lift, or if I drove a different way, or if I just sent that text message? And that's where I'm like obsessed with now, is collapsing that gap and being like, as long as I'm in my truth, as long as I'm in my heart, and it's about both parties feeling seen, safe, heard, and respected, like we can't lose the game. But if I don't swing, if I don't send it, if I stay locked behind my phone, behind my computer, or in my brain, everybody loses. And for me to convince myself that I tell everybody I want to leave a legacy for my kids, or the only thing that matters is happiness and joy, and I'm in any moment believing that bullshit when my son is 7 feet away from me, or you're a text message away, or anybody else I know love can be in there, that was just the prison that I was keeping myself in while I was convincing there was some other path to get out.
So you surround yourself with lighthouses.
Everywhere.
I mean, what you just described with your prison would be a lighthouse with the light off.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that doesn't do any good.
And that's where most of my anxiety came from.
Yeah.
Right. Like even now and today, like I also recognize that even as a part of my life, like as much as I love my still time, my silence, my reflection, I equilaterally as much need to be in the field with people and mm-hmm. on the field with people. And now I'm just navigating those seasons. Right. But yeah, the lighthouse is there's a spinning 6-foot one in front of you. There's mirrors on the wall. Yeah. They're everywhere that you can go, because the lighthouse quote that tickled me the most was, lighthouses give light because giving light is its nature. It's not interested in who gets it. But in order for a lighthouse to be operational, it has to be built on a strong foundation that can weather everything, and it has to be aligned. And then like, that's the biggest point for me, is that I look back at every business mistake, every relationship mistake, and every one of them, and I can genuinely find the same thing in every one of them, that I was just completely out of alignment or out of integrity. And that was the only reason. And the words were there, the feelings were there, but the courage mm-hmm. to stand for myself or in my truth was not. And so that's why I'm like so obsessed with it, because you really don't know until you turn over that stone. And as much as I'd like to think that like when I drive here and I get an idea and I'm like, oh yeah, great idea, let me unpack the other 887 thoughts, I'm not there yet. But if I never grab that idea and give it a chance, or take a peek at it, or send that text, or send that phone call, or do any of that, I'll never know. And that's prison for me.
Yeah.
That's prison for me.
What's gratitude look like for you? Your gratitude exercise?
Oh yeah. So every morning when I wake up, I do the same three things. Number one is I pray to God for myself. I pray to God for my family and friends and everybody that I love. And then I do my gratitude in my stillness practice when I'm laying there in my prayer, normally in front of my red light. And then when I get up, I have in the Alliance our sacred lightkeeper quadrants, but my day is broken down into working on my mindset, my body, my faith, and my business. But I can't touch my business until I've put my pads on, which means mind, body, and faith has to be done every day before I get on the field. And so with that, I typically will hit that prayer. I'll open up, I'll write it down. And then part of my journaling is I have like things that I'm grateful for, and then I assign an action item. And then before I do any work for the day, before I do anything, before I turn on my phone, I make sure that I plant all those seeds and water them. And so if I have anything in my gratitude practice that comes up for me, whoever or whatever came up gets to be told as to why that day they were in my gratitude practice. And that's probably been the biggest and most stretchy thing for me.
Yeah.
Because I will be sitting there and I'll have gratitude for somebody I haven't talked to in 7 years. And I'm like, our last conversation, I don't know how it went. Cool. Doesn't matter. Sending anyways. Mm-hmm. And that muscle has been huge. And I've been even deep down the rabbit hole of gratitude. And Tony Robbins is huge on this, because it's the only thing that really, it's the one muscle that gets rid of anxiety and depression, is having gratitude. And gratitude for me is the thing that allows me to be authentic. And that's the biggest, I'd say the biggest shadow that I currently integrate every day, is seeing myself, celebrating myself. Not for what the world sees, not for what I tell you, but like when it's just me and God, just really seeing myself that way and acknowledging myself. And so the biggest part of my gratitude practice for the last couple of months has been using that entire time and space to love me in whatever that looks like. Sometimes it's, I only did 10 minutes and I just sit on the floor. This morning I laid in the shower and I prayed to God, but I just sat there and I appreciated my body. And like, I touched it and I appreciated it. And I'm like, yeah, he's made me pretty unkillable. But like the fact that this thing's still functioning after what it's been through. And I just realized throughout the day how much I even ignore myself and the things that I do and how often I don't see myself. And I will say that that muscle has really been the most profound and still hardest one for me to flex every single day. Because the default for me at the end of the day is like, Yeah, you did good. But there's so many more people. Like, you could have got that one. You could have got that one. You could have got that one. And that's the trap. And so I've realized that that gratitude muscle, the number one for me, is really, really acknowledging and seeing myself for whatever whatever it is that day so that it's completely perfect and okay. And then tomorrow I can pick a new race, or in this moment I can pick a new race. But gratitude has also been like the current state in the map for me too. It forces this perspective and presence. And so apparently the one with myself lands the most that I'm flexing mm-hmm. right now, including like sitting in this office with you. Like, I'm going to do a whole podcast on this office, but I've spent 3 years intentionally pouring everything into this space so that I can be better for me in the world. But like 90% of this office isn't for me. It's for other people. And I built it in silence and I never shared it. And it was like, I was afraid to. And like, now I'm like, oh, I'm unpacking. It's like, oh my God, it's so beautiful. And I was like, so many lessons in this one for me.
Yeah,
it is beautiful and on to bigger and things. But now I get to learn that I get to be in my own process. I don't need it to look a certain way before I share it. I don't need it to be polished or perfect. And like, there's parts of my life that I get to share that I didn't realize were sneakily held off. And it wasn't until we started moving it and I was like, oh guys, unpacking. I was like, oh my God, it's amazing. Why do you have this? Why do you have this? That like, it hit me the other day. Like, I never shared any of it. Like, I'd spent hundreds of hours in here thinking about every person's experience when they sit down at the table, what makes it learn, what makes it learn. I was like, oh, I didn't share it because I was afraid to feel seen. I was afraid to feel vulnerable. Mm-hmm. I was afraid to tell people how much I care about people because it made me vulnerable. And I was like, okay, noted. And so I'm surrounded by it and just taking the tickles, man. Just taking the tickles.
Yeah, man. Vulnerability looks good on you.
It feels real for the first time.
Yeah.
It feels like it's just really no story. Like, that's it. Like, mm-hmm. I'm sitting in this space with you, and it's so interesting because I was almost really sad, and then I was almost really nervous to tell everybody how sad I wasn't. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, it represents so much. And I was like, but now I get to take my own advice and I get to have my reminders and be surrounded by it, and it's completely okay. And even this, to the point too, where it's like, for everybody who's sending me an Instagram message lately, I'm better than ever. Mm-hmm. But I literally genuinely want to feel every feeling.
Yeah.
And I genuinely, and I showed you the image I had, but Carl Jung has a quote, and he says, the branches of your trees can only touch to the tips of heaven, to the depth of which your roots have been down in hell. And to really understand polarity and perspective and all of that. And I'm like, no, I've spent my whole life trying to feel. I'm not going to turn them off now. And I was like, and if this is the joy that I get to feel, because when I'm in my low, I get to be with that and process it, I'm sharing all of it now. Yeah. Because it just genuinely feels like freedom.
Yeah. It's going to make people uncomfortable because they've never seen it. Right?
Makes me uncomfortable.
That's okay.
It's, I think that's the tickle. It's alive. I'm like, I think when we go to the gym, if we don't feel it, we try to put more weight on. Right.
Right.
Cause isn't the rest of it atrophy? Right. Like I had somebody say this to me, Jeff Spencer, I love you to pieces, man. He's Tiger Woods' coach, Lance Armstrong's coach. And he's a dear friend of mine. And he's like, yeah, but if you were to run a mile every day for a year at the same pace, do you get stronger or weaker? And I was like, and he's like, weaker, cause your body gets used to it. And I was like, oh, yeah. And he's like, but think about this whole human experience where we'll go to the gym, we'll do this in our fitness, we'll do this to be better. But when it comes to us mm-hmm. and stretching that muscle, how much of us don't touch it? And I was like, oh, man, got it. That landed right. And then that's when like the morning routines went out into the trash because I was just checking boxes. This was a big thing we said this week, that weekend. Yeah. We were like, it's not something you do, it's something you feel. And mm-hmm. Matt, love you to pieces, bro, as always. But even watching Matt, when Matt modeled his gratitude practice, like people shifted immensely because it's never about the boxes, even the structures, the routines. That's there to allow you to feel inside of them, right? There is really no agenda. It's not that you hit 20 minutes versus 25 mm-hmm. or that you read 18 pages versus 20. It's like, in whatever that experience was, were you fully in it? Did you fully feel it? Did you get yourself expressed in it? And that's the part now where I realized no matter how many things I taught, no matter how many models I made, no how many things I gave to people or even myself, doing them was never the way. Being them and feeling them is the absolute only way. But there's the other reminder. Can't go around it. Can't go under it. Can't go over it. You got to go through it. And that piece feels like freedom, because it also, to credence to earlier of that level of healing, I spent 3 years, in like what I would consider hell, that was released with one breath work night, because I just allowed myself to feel. And I was like, I was so embarrassed, because I knew, like, I knew there was sadness inside of me, and I hadn't processed their names. And that was the one that was sitting up there, and there's a reason they're in there. And it was like, I knew, but I was just, I needed an outlet and I needed an off gas. But it was like the moment I felt it, and like, I allowed myself to be sad and I allowed myself to mourn, like, instantaneously, it was like joy and gratitude and presence. But that whole moment collapsed. And I was like, I've been depressed and angry and bleeding on people for 3 years because I didn't want to feel. And I was like, oh no. And that became like, I don't have it figured out, but I'm going to honor this. And everyone's like, oh, we've seen you keynote and you've stopped in the middle. And I was like, yeah, because I was having a feeling and it was important to me to honor and acknowledge that feeling. And so if that means stopping and crying, or stopping and saying I'm angry, or stopping and saying, right, like, that became freedom for me. But it just felt like in that moment, and I remember it vividly, it was like, you don't ever get to do this again. Like, it was just this self-induced prison and purgatory, because I wouldn't. And it was like, literally, go to a rage room, go out for a run, like, go, I go to the top of that mountain behind us and I scream like a mountain goat, like, you wouldn't believe. Like, I'm like, nope, I got emotions to get out. So I go out there. I don't need music. Bears stay far away from me when I start up there and in my films. Like, ah, right? I'm like, I got hikers. I don't care.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, flex, flex, flex. And I'll share this breakthrough from one of my coaches. I never had challenges expressing the angers, the sadness, the tears. The big one I had challenge expressing was joy, happiness, fun. And so he gave me a job. And he's like, I want you. And I lived in SoCal at the time. And he's like, you have a mission. And I was like, uh-huh. And he was my coach. I love you, Steph. And he's like, so you just get to blindly commit to this. I'm like, yep. He's like, okay, you're going to go to the beach alone, a crowded beach. And you're going to go roll in the sand and pretend that you should be locked up. Like, I want people calling to see where your handler is, because you're just riddled with so much joy. I want you building sandcastles on your own. I want you rolling around in the sand. I want you dancing. And if I have to tell you the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, you pick anything in my whole story, I would do them 35 times from Sunday. Yeah. That felt like I was ending my life to walk down to a beach with a ton of strangers and dance and yell and roll in the sand. And I literally remember the moment, and it was about like 30 seconds in, where I'm like, they're already watching. I'm already getting stared at. Fuck it. And that fuck it moment was probably one of the most freeing moments of my life, because I was like, I've never allowed myself to have joy or to express it or to show it. And that one was like the biggest, biggest one for me in that breakthrough in really expressing it. And so that's really where I started to get it, because I'd practice the rest of them. I'll go let you know I'm angry. I'll go release that emotion. But like, to know that I'm not that, and I also have this like unexpressed joy in me, and put that out with the same fierceness that I would the other stuff, that's the muscle I'm still working on, like, to this day. That's the one.
Yeah, I've tried to, like, myself focus on, so I'm sober. I haven't drank in
me too
4.5 years. And I intentionally dance at weddings. And that's like super
comfortable. Didn't we talk about this? How it's
that
like was, the best at the weekend?
That was at the retreat.
Yeah.
Like, it's not easy for me. I have no rhythm. So not only is it weird for me to get up there sober, but I really suck at dancing.
Me too.
So me too. I find great joy in that. And the most recent one was my sister-in-law got married, and you know, there's Backstreet Boys blaring and stuff, and there's a lot of drunk people, there's a lot of stoned people, there's a lot of everything, and nobody's dancing.
Nobody.
And what a shame to have a DJ up there bringing his A game and nobody dancing for him. So I did, and I danced all night, and it was great. And I think that, like, when you can just stop caring and just do things to at least try to experience joy, it's incredible.
And I think, too, in that, and I'll dance with you anytime, bro. I'm in with no rhythm. You should see me when, like, I was with OBS for the first time, and we were in, like, one of Aubrey's container, and we're doing a static dance. I'm like, yeah. Oh no, here we go. And I'm like, here we go. But I think it's even the one thing, instead of like stop caring, it's actually start caring about your heart.
Yeah.
Like, start caring about you, your most expressed version of you, right? Like, I this is only for me, but if I don't love who I am in that moment, I can't love anybody else, and they can't love mm-hmm. me. And I think for all too often, I always made it about what was happening outside of me, but it's always been about inside of me. Like, what do I need to express in this moment? And it happened the other day in the grocery store. Totally. I was shopping with Branson. This song came on and my body felt like doing some dance move that I've never done before. And like, I almost like did it. And then she's like, are you okay? I'm like, I don't know what that was, but like, it felt good. Right. And then like, I was standing in the kitchen the other day and I was talking to one of Lindsay's friends, and she was in a room listening to her music, and Brance was there. And then like Lindsay had some music on, and all of a sudden, before I noticed it, I'm like moving. She's like, are you good? I'm like, oh wait. I'm like, I'm just going to keep going. Right. Yeah. And just really allowing your body to feel. But we also know, and like our bodies know better than anybody. And I'm like, how do I expect anything to be positive when the thing that drives me through this, I ignore every day? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, nope, I don't like that one. Nope, only if it looks this way. Nope, only if it feels that way, right? And it's like, no, just like be in it in whatever way you want to be in it. Like just be in it, but like
yeah.
honor yourself. Like go.
When do you think that goes away?
Never.
I mean, when do you think it went away? That dancing to, I look at my 9-year-old son.
Yep.
And I'm sure your 7-year-old son.
Oh, yeah.
Something comes on, they're dancing.
Oh, I can tell you officially when it goes away, it's 8. That's when a child's inner paradigm is developed.
Okay.
Here's my theory on life. We're born as close to perfect and God as possible. Mm-hmm. And then we spend the first 8 years of our life being told how to operate into a world. And eventually we either experience trauma, pain, or a midlife crisis. And then we spend the rest of our life remembering what it was like to be before we were 8. That is the human experience.
Okay.
And it's like, so let's just cut to the chase and go straight back to what it was like to be a kid with responsibility, but full expression. Like when Lindsay and I, when I became Cheyenne's bonus dad, I think she was 4, 4 and a half, but I'll never forget the first time she threw a temper tantrum in a store. And I was like, what are you going to do? And she's like, we're getting on the floor with her. And I was like, huh? She's like, her body knows better. She feels something in it. And I'll never forget. She was like upset. She threw on the floor. We jumped on the floor. We did it with her. She was better like instantaneously.
Yeah.
And so was I. So was I, because I was like, oh, every parent's judging me. They're going to do this. How am I going to stop this? And I was like, oh, I'm getting on the floor with our kid. And it was like this, like, oh my God, right? Like we teach it in breath work. We're mm-hmm. like, oh, by the way, if your body has this energy, it might want to move. That's called toning. What do you think kids do? It's how they regulate their nervous system. And so it's just been this really interesting concept that I've really, really thought about, because every plant medicine journey, every prayer, everything that I've ever gone down is like trying to find that childlike innocence that it was somehow removed from us, but it's been there the whole time.
Yeah.
We were just told by the world, you're too much. It doesn't belong. You're too happy. You take up too much space. Yeah. Bright lights do that. If it shines in your eye, look the other way, mm-hmm. put sunglasses on. Or turn yours up and we'll both shine them out, right? Yeah. But at some point, like we always look for, who's the first person that's going to get on the dance floor, right? Who's the first one that's going to ask the question? I'm like, it's all of us.
Mm-hmm.
As long as we choose it to be, and that feels in alignment to us, right? And I think that that's the most beautiful, beautiful part, because I think about those stories, right? Like, well, I can't because I was a Marine, or I can't because of this. Or really? No one's stopping me right now. There's no shackles on my hand. Yeah. Like I'm not in prison. I'm like, oh no, the real integrous thing to say would be like, I'm choosing not to. And I could never say that because there was never a good reason.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I started framing it like that, I'm like, oh, got it, right? Got it. There's a different frame to go into it. And I think that that's the part. Because, like, you still get to run business. You still get to do it. But think about the ones that we want to be in. Isn't it more fun when it's fun?
Yeah.
When you're connected and you're playing and you're here. Well, who's going to start that? Who's going to bring that? I'm like, if you see it, bring it, right? And it's something that I thank my kids for. I thank Branson. Like, he jumps up and dances now. And that boy has about the same rhythm as daddy. But I'll catch him early because we'll get some in him. But, like, even this morning, I woke him up. He got in front of his red light in a routine, and I had, like, had everything done because I changed my routine a bit this morning. I was like, all ready to go. And he comes out of the room dancing. And he's like, and I was like, oh, I need to dance with him. And I'm yeah. like, got it. Like, and then I, like, felt good. I'm like, oh. And then I was like, I should do this more often. Right. And it's just, I think being willing to play with it and being okay to be alive, like, it's just, if we're going to do this work, if we're going to be entrepreneurs, if we're going to do whatever it is that we want to do, like, enjoy every moment and every ounce of scripture you read, every ounce of abundance, scarcity, pick your path. It's, if you don't love everything that you have in this current moment and you're not grateful for it, you're not going to get anything more of either side.
Right.
And I think the easiest way to live free is to just be expressed in who you are, because at the end of the day, that's all you have. And as much as I'd like to think that somebody really does care how I show up or not, if I'm the one that's unexpressed because they didn't like it, they're not going to be there for my unhappiness or my dissonance or my out of alignment. It's still just me and me, and it's my own created prison. And so I'm just not interested in shutting that door anymore. I broke it open. I fucking welded the lock open. It can never be closed again. But it really just has to come down to, like, what feels the best for me in that moment,
right?
In alignment, right? And I had one of our alliance members on the podcast the other day, and he said the best quote. And he said, think with your heart, feel with your brain. And I'm still unpacking that one. And it's landed on so many levels.
Yeah.
But that is the closest thing to what I think is the easiest fortune cookie on how to really, really live.
Mm-hmm.
Is, like, think with your heart. And then feel with your brain. And I'll let everybody, you know, unpack what that is for you.
Yeah.
I know what it is for me. And I just can look back now and have, and I have this with gratitude, but I have years. My son is only 7. I have years of moments where I could have planted seeds or been present, and I can't go back and change them, but I can sure as shit remember
mm-hmm.
each one of those moments and make sure when they pop up again that I plant a seed
yeah.
or I'm at least present to be in the moment and not miss the harvest that we call life, that I'm never going to get back, no matter how much money is in my account, no matter what good I do in the world. Those moments between me and people I love, my kids, my friends, and my family, those are the only moments to live for. And I just respect and honor the fuck out of every one of them with every person I meet now. And that's what life's about. And I'm going to do everything in my power to protect them. Everything.
I love it, man. I think gratitude is a superpower. And presence is something I started focusing on last year mm-hmm. a lot more.
Bro, you're present, bro. You're present.
I don't think it's always been that way. There's been some intention behind it. I've been distracted a lot.
Yeah.
Really distracted, I think. But yeah, man, like, presence.
Do you want to hear the quote that somebody texted me this morning that tickled?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's so perfect with what you just said. Let me pull up Jake Herbert's text message to me. Of all people, if the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. And that one tickled
yeah.
a lot.
Yeah.
And even in this weekend where Branson was completely happy, and in the moments when he was and I was over, instead of doing my things faster or being in integrity or loving what I was doing, checkbox, busy, 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 and no moments on either side. And I'm like, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. And so whether we were or we not, I'll tell you this right now. You are now. I felt it that whole weekend, bro. I felt it when you walk in the office, for 4 minute hugs, every conversation I have you witness. And I think the most important part is it's also a choice, right? It's not yeah. this place that we are or we aren't. It's this place that we can choose to be. Mm-hmm. And the beautiful thing is if we find ourselves out of it, we now know immediately how to get back into it.
Yeah. And I think also, if you find yourself out of it, you need to take inventory on who you're with.
Facts.
There are some people that I probably don't have the desire to be present with.
Mm-hmm.
I've found that I am 100%, 1,000% introverted around people that I don't want to be present with.
Yep.
But being here, having conversation, it's just fucking flowing and flowing and flowing. I want to be present. I want to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel it. I don't think I'm coming off as introverted for this podcast.
No.
But, you know, I've even identified myself as an introvert for a period of my life. And I don't think that's it either.
Mm-mm.
I used to think that alcohol was what made me not introverted. That wasn't it either. Nope. I think at that time I was around people I wanted to be around. And I wasn't an introvert. Those people aren't in my life anymore. Mm-hmm. But at that time, they were important for whatever reason. But when I'm around people that I am fully present with, consumed by, and like at my best place, I'm wide open.
Yeah. 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 I think that that's the beautiful part. I also, I have a clip from Mike Tyson that I love with people too, because like, there's a lot of credence to what you said. And he has this clip and he's interviewing, it's on his podcast, but it's Get a Young Rapper. And the guy's talking about how he made it and how he made it out, and how he cut all those people out of his life. And I love this check from Mike. Mike's like, you lost. The devil changed you. And it tickled me so hard. And he's like, what do you mean? He's like, those people are still operating the same. Your behavior's changed. And that's always tickled me to this like very, very extreme point of like, energy matters. Where you surround yourself matters. Who you surround yourself with matters. Where you spend your time matters. But also, if you ever find yourself in those situations, you have full control and ability to be your authentic self regardless of how they show up. And that one always tickles. And I don't know what it is about Mike, but given his life and story and now his relationship with God, I'm like, I'll listen, because I really can't hold a flame to any of the things that you've ever even like come close to. And I was like, that's true. And I think there's so much credence in that too. Like, alignment is everything for me. Right. And you're right. Like, doing inventory, being aware of like what lights you up, what supports you, what brings you out at your best is massive, because if you can catch the things that don't, you can make adjustments to those things. Yeah. And I think that's the biggest part. It's like, I genuinely have finally started to understand patience and time and delayed gratification and process. And really incremental changes. Like, if anything, that my health and the weight loss this year, that it will be off forever. I didn't try to lose the weight. I let go of all the intensity, all of it. And I let go of like what it looked like today and what it would look like in 30 days. And I just changed my measurement window.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, God, if I just do this for like 10 minutes a day and just work on this. And then one day I looked in the mirror and I was like, what the fuck? Okay, cool. Right. And it's just, it's that, those slight adjustments. Right. And you know, even if you think about it, like if you're sailing in a ship and you leave San Diego, if you change that degree heading 1 degree, that 1 degree every day will put you on a completely different side of the world and continent. But it has to be these micro adjustments, right? It's not these big swings. And I think that's where I lost for so long. It was like that was the cycle, right? It was like, instead of like, where's the keel in the middle? And how do I just make little changes every day over a grander scheme of time is where I started to win that game for me, potentially like the most impactful, including even containers. Like, we were talking about this before the podcast. I'm like, I used to put myself in every one of those rooms where I'm like, no, I'm there. I'm your friend. Like, and now I'm like, I just wait till they call. And if they call, I'm like, they call for the right reason. Right. And I'm like, I go. It doesn't mean anything. It could mean I'm going to beat all of them. Could mean this is the only one. I'm like, but I'll show up for this one. Yeah. I'll see how this feels. Right. And just boom, boom, boom. And that's been really powerful for me too.
I used to lean pretty hard into the take up space slogan, like, take up space, you'll be recognized. People will see you, take up space. And I've fallen away from that. And I've gone way deeper into the share space, hold space.
Yeah.
And I think that's so much more important.
There's space for everybody.
Yeah.
I think that's the most important part. It was never mine to take in the first place. Yeah. Nope. nope, just blessed to be able to be in it, to share in whatever happens in it, and to create whatever comes out of it together.
Yeah.
Like, that's the genuine magic, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, I'm excited that we get to do more of it.
Yeah, man.
More of it. Oh, man. I know it's going to be fun.
Yeah. This is a little taste of it. This conversation is just like fucking opening ceremony here.
And for full disclosure, everybody, because we are going to land this plane, we're at 2 hours and we might split this into two, and I love you to pieces. I genuinely told Andrew, I was like, I just want to talk to my boy. I don't know what we're talking about. I don't know where we're going. This isn't about the retreat or Dude That Lifts or my business. It's just a conversation, but also a very, very important one, because I think too, the biggest reminder of a lot of this for me is that in doing this work, and I haven't been in this work that long compared to a lot of my friends, but I feel like I have some time in with leadership training from 2002 till now.
Yeah.
I'm going right back to the basics that I learned 20 years ago and realizing there's nothing more than those. And it's practicing those every single day that makes a difference. And eventually you have to realize that you only need one hammer in your tool bag. And you don't need to go collecting more. You need to pick up the one that you have and use it. And that was the biggest part for me, is like these conversations. I feel like they're what life is about. This is what I want to talk about. Like, what's happening in your life? Like, how's this going? How are you integrating this? I feel like that's where iron sharpens iron. But then I have this massive recollection of 20 years of conversations that weren't here.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, I'm not going back there. Like, I just want deeper and deeper. And so I think it's a call to increase depth, right? To find depth in your life, to find depth in your conversations, depth in your presence, like in every area of opportunity and whatever it looks like. And then willing to try shit, right? Take a chance, throw a retreat, book a thing, do exposure. We'll figure it out as we go.
Yeah. And be okay with fucking losing.
Yes. Yeah. Because I feel like what it truly is it looks like you lost in a day, but if you change the measurement window to a year, it's nothing but a big W.
But most people don't change that measurement, nor do they let it go out for a year.
Yep.
You know, I've experienced so many fucking losses in business that had I just considered that like the measurement, I'd be nowhere.
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 So I think it's just, it's super important to just continue to show up, do the work, and listen to those divine messages.
Yep. If I'm going to land on that one, I'm going to leave that one. I'm like, if the phone rings, pick it up.
That's right.
And at least listen to what the message is. Don't pretend. The joke I use on here is the check engine light.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. You ignore it until you realize it wasn't the washer fluid and now your engine seized on the side of the road. But as I post on Instagram, they're not interruptions, they're invitations. Right. But Elizabeth Gilbert talks about her book, Big Magic, as well. She wrote Eat, Pray, Love. Same thing with ideas. She's like, but if an idea calls you and you don't pick up, it goes to somebody else.
Yeah.
And that is something I've learned to be very, very true. Very, very true. Because if I don't pick up the phone when God calls, typically he calls somebody else and they aggressively remind me he called. Yeah. And I don't like the humility and the reinvention of myself from being out of alignment to find that lesson. So it's way easier to pick up the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. The direct source is way better than the telephone game. I love it, man. So for everybody listening, you have to check out Andrew. We'll have everything in the show notes. But Dude That Lifts on Instagram, you will be seeing a lot of us, and at least me and him. I'll be driving down to Helena to see him as well, because he's a short neighbor away. He's a valley or so, one continental divide drive away.
Something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever we go over that pass, whatever one that is.
Whichever one you choose.
We'll be in Idaho in September with Matt and Bonnie and me and you and every other magical person who's coming to get exposed.
That's right.
What else? I think that's, I don't know. Do you have anything? You have anything?
I don't know when this will air.
Next couple weeks.
The retreat will probably be live.
Yeah.
By the time this airs. So you can hit us up. Either of us.
Either of us. Yep. We'll have everything linked.
And we'll talk you through it. It is I mean, in full transparency, it's a high ticket item.
Yep.
But it's not a rah-rah retreat. It's designed to break you down and reintroduce you to yourself and send you home. I think we talked about, I'm gonna just drag this on for another minute, but we talked about people going home with answers. I think people go home with a lot more questions too that really take them deeper into who they are. Yep. And it's fucking magic, man. And if I can be a part of that magic on any scale, I will never fucking stop.
It's addicting, right?
It's addicting.
Yeah, because you also realize in that magic, you end up with 800 more questions for yourself. Yeah. That was my drive home in the next couple of days and weeks and the next couple of months. And I'll just lead the horse for you. 18 months from now, you'll hear something and it'll hit back to the first one. You're like, that was it. Oh my. And then it just becomes like, this is what it feels like to be alive. And if that means I get to cry and feel and have all of these feelings like I get to feel, I am not putting this back in the box because I will take this every day, all day. I spent enough of my life numb. Yeah. And this is really where the magic happens. So I love it. And yes, for everybody listening, we'll have it all linked in the show notes, especially if it's live. But you can hit up Andrew. Dude That Lifts is the easiest Instagram. You'll also see him tagged on mine. It's Andrew Schubert Official with lots of underscores. Yeah. Probably the only one you're going to find. and then I don't know if we're going to keep this as one, keep this as two. Who knows? I just want to thank everybody for being a fly on the wall for my conversation with Andrew that we would have had whether we recorded it or not, and the ones that we do. And thank you for listening. Thank you for investing so much of your time today for this. And I'd say the most important thing is if anything tickled, just take action on it, right? Shelf help doesn't work, but no one's coming. You're the bright light and all these pieces and parts are here. But every day you have a blank canvas. You can write whatever you want to write. You can be whoever you choose and try to be. And if you don't like any of the outfits that you've been wearing, just put on a different shirt, try it on for the day. And the worst thing that happens is you don't like it. You don't wear it again, but now you know. And so I think that would be my invitation today. Pick up one thing and try it. One distinction, one thought, one practice, and put it into practice and give it time to work, because you also don't plant a seed in a garden, never water it, and expect to get food. You need to tend to it and water it and give it a chance and time. And so I think that's what I got for today. So I'm about to get a UTI. So I think we're going to do a pee break.
All right, man. Yeah. Thank you,
brother.
Thank you for sharing your space.
It is an honor. I will share sacred air with you anytime. I do have one question to wrap the show because I do ask people this all the time. So I just want you to envision that everybody listening got men in blacked. And they forgot every single thing that they've heard. But the only thing they're going to hear is this moment. And you have the ability to tattoo any wisdom on their soul to take with them for the rest of their life. What would your tattoo wisdom be?
Tattoo of wisdom. I think get weird. Get weird. The weirder you get, the better your life is.
Yeah, we have a big party of us that are sober wedding dance floor crashers. And so welcome to the party. But get weird. I love that. Get weird. That fits.
It's fucking perfect.
That is so perfect. That is a good way to end the show. I think we might just title the show Get Weird, and we'll just land that plane right now. So,
Get Boom. Weird.
So, that's what we got for the show. Andrew might be the last in-person guest here before it looks somewhere different, where it's in my gym or my bedroom or in a car or some mobile studio that I decide to build.
I look forward to the car podcast.
We will figure it. I did realize the other day how much easier it would have been if I just did this in a van. Yeah. And I just brought the van everywhere we went. And I was like, then I wouldn't have to unpack and move and like take this on the road. We'll see what the future has. I'll mount a lighthouse on the top of the van. You'll see me coming. Andrew can vouch. There's an actual 6-foot lighthouse in the office. Nobody believes me. And I'm no,
it's there.
It's fully functional.
It's operating.
It's operating right now as we speak. It's going
on. It actually drew me here from Helena.
It's how we got here. It's how we got here. And so for everybody, I love you to absolute pieces. This has been another episode of the Crazy Ass Mind of George show, where I told you it belonged in a straitjacket, so we share the safest parts with you. That's really coming full circle now. And so no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing in this moment, just take 1 second, put your hand on your heart, and just realize that we're blessed to be here. We got another day, and you just got another breath, and we can all choose what we do with it. And I invite you to turn your brightness up, because the world needs more of you. I love you. We love you. We will either see you in the next episode, or you will hear me in your earballs. But either way, we're out.